Good morning. It's good to see some of you that have been kept away for different reasons for a while, so good to have some of you back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day, and I do thank you that we can gather together, and I ask that you would be working in each of our hearts, Lord, that we would not just go to church because it's Sunday, but Lord, that we would be here to draw closer to you and to one another. I ask that you'd work in our hearts this morning. Thank you for your word, and I ask you give us something to meditate on even in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start with a question, and that is, why is it that we go to church on Sunday morning? Why is it that we have fellowship with other believers? Why do you want to get together with others? And there's not only one right answer, but I'd like you to ponder that. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? And kind of have it in the back of your mind. And by the end, I'm going to suggest there's another one we should be considering if you haven't thought of it yet. So keep that in mind. But I'm going to start off speaking mainly to, and we're going to go to Ezekiel 34, and it's talking to the shepherds in Israel. So obviously leaders in God's house. And there's some characteristics that are not good at the time. The heading in my Bible calls them irresponsible shepherds. So I'm going to start in verse 1, and it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings and you do not feed the flock." So obviously, the shepherds should be feeding the flock, should be taking care of the sheep. But yet, what is it that's happening? In verse 3, it says, you clothe yourselves with the wool. In other words, rather than feeding the flock, you're getting something from the flock for yourself. He's saying, woe to the shepherds. Verse 4, the weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. So clearly, Ezekiel was prophesying against the leaders of Israel because they didn't have God's heart, but rather they were in it for themselves. This is a problem. Verse 17 says the following. It says, "And as for you, O flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats." That's interesting. We normally hear in Matthew about a judgment between the sheep and the goats, separating them. But here it's between sheep and sheep. That's kind of interesting. It says, "Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk the clear water, that you must foul the residue with your feet?" So I kind of think of even Psalm 23 talks about leading us into still waters, right? Green pasture, being by these still streams that are flowing smoothly, and crystal clear water, and really lush pasture. And here it seems like he's saying, look, you've gone and you've eaten the really nice pasture, you've drank of really good water, but then you take your feet and you muddy it up. You stir up all the sediment, which can actually make sheep sick. "And as for my flock," in verse 19 it says, "they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep." So he's judging between sheep and sheep. Which ones are the fat ones? I would suggest the ones that are eating the good pasture and drinking the good water, and the lean ones are the ones that are getting the stuff that's trampled down afterwards and the water that's all muddied up because they stirred it up. And I would suggest that these sheep here are kind of like the shepherds. They know the word of God. They might know the truth of God's word, but they maybe don't share it all because they're more concerned about having more people maybe that are listening to them so that they can get something for themselves. And so they muddy the waters. This is a characteristic of a bad shepherd. He says he's going to judge between the sheep and the sheep. Some fat, I would suggest the bad shepherds, and there's going to be a judgment. And then he was going to judge between the lean. He's not going to treat them the same. Some of them are lame because they didn't have a good shepherd. And God's heart was he was going to send them a good shepherd. And he said he's going to send a shepherd named David. And it's kind of interesting because when he prophesied this, David had lived 400 years earlier. He's prophesying about Jesus coming, the true shepherd. And the true shepherd doesn't treat his sheep in this way. So this is kind of old covenant, but in the new covenant, it talks about the same problem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, here it calls these bad shepherds false apostles. I'm going to read in verse 2. It says, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, it says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So we know that the Apostle Paul was a true shepherd. He had the proper shepherd's heart. And he was trying to get the people ready to be the bride of Christ. And yet he's saying, there's someone coming in verse 4. "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you've not received, or if a different gospel which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it." Verse 5 says, "For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles." So he's comparing himself to other apostles. We could say other shepherds, other sheep. He's saying, look, I'm not inferior to these others who are twisting things, or you could say muddying the truth, because they have a motive. And their motive, I would suggest, is to get something for themselves once again. And so that becomes clear if we keep reading. I'll go down to verse 12. It says, "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast." Paul's saying, I'm trying to cut off the opportunity of these greedy shepherds, of these false apostles. They're trying to be regarded as a true apostle, but really, they're greedy. We're going to continue to try to cut off those opportunities. Verse 14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." So he's saying these false apostles are looking like they're real apostles. They're looking like they're good shepherds, but they're not really. In verse 18, it says, "Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise." He's being a little bit sarcastic. You're not wise. You're putting up with these false apostles. Verse 20, "For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face." He's saying these false apostles are trying to take you into bondage, and they're trying to take from you for themselves. The Amplified Version, verse 20 says, "For you endure it if a man assumes control over your souls and makes slaves of you, or devours your substance, spends your money, and preys upon you, or deceives and takes advantage of you, or is arrogant and put on airs, or strikes you in the face." But he's saying, you put up with it. People are trying to spend your money. What are you trying to get something from you once again? So in the old, they were trying to take the wool. Here he's saying they're trying to take maybe your money, or they're trying to get a following after themselves. This is the wrong heart. And I guess this all started for me when I was reading about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was radically different. He was a leader amongst God's people who was very upright, and he had the flock. He had the other sheep in mind rather than himself. So turn to Nehemiah chapter 5. It's way back. There it is. Takes a little bit to find. Where is it? How do you describe that? I guess it's before Psalms, about three books before Psalms. So if you find Nehemiah chapter 5, Nehemiah 5, verse 14. So Nehemiah, he was leading, and he was really trying to stir up the Jewish people to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And that wall was really, it was what would save them and protect them from the enemy coming in. And they'd have to put up new gates. But it had all been trampled down and destroyed because they got sent into Babylon. So now he's trying to stir up the people to rebuild the wall. And it says here in verse 14, it says, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions." So what does that mean? So the governors were permitted to get something from the people. So he's saying this was kind of like the provision given to the governor as their leader. He's saying, "I nor my brothers ate of the governor's provisions. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver." So like every month they had to pay this tax and it was a heavy burden. It says, "Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. Indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work, and at my table were 150 Jews and rulers, besides those who came to us from the nations around us." So he's saying, look, at my table, there's a lot of people to feed. At verse 18 says, "Now that which was prepared daily was one ox and six choice sheep, also fowl," or like bird meat to eat, "were prepared for me, and once every 10 days, an abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet, in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provision." So even though I had to take care of a whole bunch of people and feed them every day, I didn't make use of the governor's provision that I could have had. "Because the bondage was heavy on this people." Because these people were under a lot of financial pressure already, I didn't want to take what was rightfully mine. 19, "Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." So essentially he's saying, look, I feared God, and I didn't take advantage of the people. Even what was rightfully due me, I didn't take. And I share this as a contrast between what we've read, right, in Ezekiel and in 2 Corinthians 11. Big contrast. So here we see a leader in God's people that was willing to give ultimately of his own resources to see God's work continue. That is a good characteristic. That is what we should be shooting for. Let's look here and just compare Nehemiah compared to John 10. John 10 talks about Jesus. And it says Jesus, I'll find it. John 10:10, it says, "The thief," John chapter 10, verse 10, "the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." Why do people steal things? To get something for themselves, right? "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." A true leader in God's kingdom, or it's a spiritual kingdom, but a true leader is someone who's going to be willing to give of his own resources, his time, his money, and ultimately be willing to set aside his own desires to see the kingdom built. Very different than what we were reading as these warnings. This is Jesus that it's speaking about, but truly that's what we should be following after, whether it be in our household, because we want to see the kingdom built, we're going to give of our time and our resources and give up our will for whatever it might be, to see our children do well, to see our spouses do well, our maybe it's our extended family, our co-workers, etc., and how much more in the church. Let's turn to Matthew 20. Matthew 20, a very common time where some of the brothers were arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Matthew 20, verse 25 says, "But Jesus called the disciples to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant.'" Right? Verse 27, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I hope that it is in all of our hearts to be great in the kingdom of God. Not great in this earthly kingdom. That's not our number one goal at all. But we want to be great in the eyes of God. And if so, what's the key? Are we here to want to serve others? So I asked a question in the beginning, and that is, why do we want to come together for fellowship? Why do we want to come together? Like I said, there's many reasons. But one reason should be that I want to have an opportunity to serve my brothers and sisters. On a Sunday morning, on a Friday night, going out for coffee, going out for whatever. Is there an opportunity to serve? How can I be a blessing to others? Is that in your heart? So I don't think it's wrong to come, "Lord, I want to be encouraged this morning. I want to come and praise your name with others." Those are all great reasons as well. But one reason that should be in the mix is I want to be a blessing. I want to serve others. And so that doesn't just happen on Sunday mornings. It can happen throughout the week. And it doesn't just happen in the body. It happens beyond the body. But that should be part of our DNA. That should be part of our makeup. Because if we want to be great in the kingdom, which we should be wanting, let's remember how we become great. We become servant of all. And so I will leave it there this morning. And another brother might come up and share.